Hi everyone, this is Tom Ewer from leavingworkbehind.com, and this is the first video interview I've ever done for Leaving Work Behind. In fact, it's the first interview of any kind I've done. And so it's really fitting that I'm joined today by someone who is right at the top of the list of people that I would like to speak to with regards to their online business. This person is someone who I've followed for many months and have a lot of interest in what they do, especially considering it's quite closely related to what I do, freelance writing. We're both in freelance writing, but we have different approaches, and she's been in it for longer. She has a different way of doing it, and she's been very successful. So with that said, I'd like to introduce you to Ruth Zive of Ruth Zive Copywriting. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
I'm thrilled to be here, and the feelings are very mutual. I read your blog religiously and get a lot of inspiration from you as well. So I'll definitely be linking to this interview and promoting your blog as I always do. So thanks for having me.
No problem at all. It's my pleasure. I think it'd be best to start, for the people who don't know about you, I have linked to you on many occasions on my blog, but I'm sure there are plenty of readers who don't know who you are and what you do. So maybe we should start with what it is that you do, a little bit about yourself and your work.
Sure. So my business, Ruth Zive Copywriting, basically provides content marketing and social media solutions, primarily to B2B businesses. That's business to business enterprise, large companies, really across the globe. So I spend a lot of my time writing and editing, leveraging social media platforms on my clients' behalf, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube is fast becoming a really important platform. And when I'm not doing that, usually I'm with my husband and my 5 children trying to chill out a bit.
You chill out with the 5 children?
Try.
Okay. All right. Sounds like you've got a lot more on your plate than me. So my respect continues to grow. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what you did before what you do now. What was it that I believe you had a part-time job? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So I worked for about a dozen years in the nonprofit industry for a variety of charities, doing mostly fundraising and marketing. And the nonprofit sector is a pretty flexible workplace. So while I was having those 5 children, it was easy to carve out part-time arrangements. And I worked in that sector for about 12 years. I learned a lot about sales because, as far as I'm concerned, fundraising is essentially sales. I did a lot of marketing and messaging, you know, whereas a value proposition in the corporate sector is what you want to communicate. You want to in the nonprofit sector, you're communicating case for giving. It's the same, different, it's semantics really, different terminology, but same strategy. So I learned a lot in that sector about messaging and the importance of consumer engagement and how to solicit a gift. And I also always did a lot of writing on the side, not just for my job. I always enjoyed writing, and so I wrote a lot about my own personal life experiences for special interest publications and print magazines. So writing was always a highlight for me, no matter which job I had. And that was really my background. I did a master's degree in social work and with a major in community organizing, so my focus was always on community work. A macro point of view.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you
writing is a bit of a departure.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you did do writing in some form whilst you're in your previous role. It's not something I really did myself. How do you think that prepared you for what it is that you do now? That kind of on the side writing.
Well, I mean, it was a deliberate move for me. I knew I was always a good writer, and a lot of the feedback that I received in my career was related to my capacity to communicate effectively. So I always knew that was a strength, and I think that the more I really got in touch with that sense of confidence and really recognized that skill, the more I wanted to be doing that full time. So it wasn't that I had this feel, and it just happened to come in handy as I launched my business. I launched my business very deliberately, knowing that that was my greatest skill set.
Okay.
So in that sense, yeah.
So was it a case of it being a long time coming in terms of launching your business?
I think in retrospect, yeah, I would say that while I was in my career, it's not like I was thinking consciously, gee, I'd really prefer to be writing full time, or I'd really prefer to be involved in content marketing. I didn't really know how to make that leap. It was more of a latent kind of subconscious desire that I knew that I loved writing. I knew I was really good at it, but I was unclear about how I would grow in my current career track to be doing that full time. Like it wasn't even conscious. But now in retrospect, yes, I believe that this is exactly what I am meant to be doing. I don't want to say I should have been doing it a long time ago, because I don't regret the years that I spent in nonprofit management, but this is where my journey was meant to take me, for sure.
That's interesting, because I think that idea of, I know I'm a good writer, but I'm just not sure how to leverage it into a full-time business. I think that's a common concern or thought process along a lot of would-be writers, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. That is probably my greatest obstacle.
Yeah, I think it probably is most people's. Okay, I'm interested to know what drove you to quit your job and launch your business. Now, obviously you enjoyed writing, so that's one aspect, but what was it that gave you the necessary drive and motivation to say, I'm going to walk away from this secure income and throw myself into my own business?
Right. I guess it was, to some degree, happenstance or good fortune. The stars aligned the right way. But I was working in my very comfortable and frankly well-paying nonprofit job. And at the same time, my brother had launched an enterprise software company in the tech sector. And his business was scaling fast and furious. And one day, his VP marketing was complaining to him that he couldn't find any good writers, and made just a very oblique comment that my brother could write better than most of the other people that he's encountered. And my brother is not a professional writer at all, but he is a good writer. And my brother responded by pointing out that everyone in the family can really write pretty well, so it must be genetic. The guy said, does anyone in your family do it professionally? My brother hedged, because he wanted none of us to have anything to do with his business, and eventually conceded and passed along my contact information, and I started writing for his company. So I didn't know anything about enterprise software or their business vertical, or it was really a new language. I was somewhat insecure about it, but what I found over time was that I could write, and I was doing that on the side. The learning curve was fairly swift, and I was doing that on the side for about a year and a half, and the money was good. It was a great way to supplement my nonprofit income. I was enjoying it. I was learning new things. And then my brother came to me after about a year and a half, and he is very, very entrepreneurial. He's had good success as a businessman, and he came to me and said, if you want to be doing this full time, if you want to launch your own business, doing this for other companies, you have to quit your job, because unless you are serious about it and you feel the desperation of not having a regular paycheck, you're not going to make it happen. You're just going to continue to be comfortable, and it will always be a side pursuit. And I don't know, it struck a nerve, and I thought, you know what, he's right. And I set a date, and I stuck to it, and I quit my job, and I felt that desperation pretty quickly. But that was enough of a fire to really move me to do what I needed to do to hustle business and take it seriously. I think if I had continued in my comfortable job and was, you know, at first I thought, I'll just try to wait until I have enough business as a freelancer, and then I'll slowly transition out of my job. But I don't think that ever would have happened, because I never would have had the focus to grow my income to where it needed to be as a freelancer to get to that place. It was only because I quit that I was able to really devote the time and attention that was required. So that was sort of the psychology that happened that moved me to quit my job. I think it was the best decision that I made, for sure. I wouldn't. There's no way I ever would have gotten to this place if I hadn't quit my job.
I think you've hit upon something which a lot of people don't realize. I think a lot of people say when you're launching an online business, it's really difficult to have the drive and motivation to get to that point where it can be your full-time endeavor. But essentially what you're saying is, in order to have that necessary drive and motivation, I had to quit my job.
Exactly. And it was scary. I didn't have the luxury of being able to continue on my merry way financially without my income. Like, I needed my income. So when I say desperation, like, I have 5 children to support, and my husband has his own business that is slowly scaling, but in no way can support us without my income. So it was desperate. I felt very, very nervous and scared after quitting my job that, you know, what if I don't make enough money? What if we can't pay the mortgage? But that was fuel that moved me to really do what I needed to do and get very aggressive about soliciting business.
Yeah.
So yes, that is exactly right. It's sort of like a chicken and egg argument, right? Like, yeah. I think that you have to quit your job to get where you want to be if you're serious about it.
Yeah. This has led on to something which I think is pertinent to my audience, or at least a lot of them. I get a lot of messages from people saying, you know, I've got a husband or a wife to support kids. How can I possibly take the leap when the worst could happen and I wouldn't be able to support them? How did you deal with that in your mind?
So before I quit my job, I did make sure I was having pretty steady income from one client, that being my brother's company, frankly. So it was still just a fraction, maybe 20%, represented maybe 20% of the salary that I was going to be losing, maybe less than 20% of the salary that I was going to be losing. But it was a good chunk of money that I knew would probably continue to flow. And then I did secure one other contract before I quit. So before I quit, I knew that at least for the first 6 months out of the gate, that I was going to have about 30% of my income intact. And that, at a minimum, gave me some reassurance that, you know, we weren't going to be homeless, that I could, that would probably be enough of a threshold with whatever else I could scramble together in those beginning months, that I would probably be okay. But I think that the leap was not waiting to be in a place where I was going to be recovering 100% of the income, because I don't think that ever would happen. So I guess my advice would be, try to carve out enough business that you're not starting from zero, but don't wait to be on par with what your expectation is ultimately, because it's somewhere in between those two extremes that you want to be, and more than likely you're going to be closer to zero than to placement of your full income. And then my husband was very supportive. He, you know, we sort of looked at our financials and figured out what we could reasonably afford and where we could scale back and what corners we could cut. So we prepared ourselves for the worst. Like, I expected that in 6 months it was going to be very challenging, but it wasn't. It worked out. So, but we prepared for the worst.
Yeah, I guess
so that would be my advice.
I guess in a sense you had the confidence that you could scale, and that's perhaps what gave you that feeling of comfort in leaving your job.
Yeah, and the more success I had out of the gate, the more empowered I felt to solicit more business and to be molded in those pursuits and to really take a hard look at my rates and what could I reasonably charge and how could I be competitive. And, you know, it gave me confidence going forward, for success that I had. So I would say you definitely should be quitting your job, but you want to be doing it responsibly.
Yeah, I think that's very
important. And that responsible is different to me than it would be for you. Like, each person has to really assess what that means for them. But ultimately, I think you have to take the bullet and quit your job to be successful as a freelancer.
Okay. Yeah, I agree completely. Now, when you quit your job, you had the contract with your brother's company, and you also mentioned that you had one other client. Now, how did you go about finding your first few clients, and how did you cope perhaps with the, I may be putting words in your mouth, but the self-doubt or the not being sure of whether or not you can actually do this and find new clients?
I remember at the beginning, okay, so basically I did a lot of hustling and solicitation of business. I did a lot of prospecting. And when I look back at those beginning months, a third of my time, if not more, was spent trying to secure business. I was really insecure about it. Like, I was nervous. I remember making those phone calls and actually shaking, like really doubting myself, writing things down on a script so that I'd be prepared for the conversation. But I was sneaky. I would read business magazines. A lot of my clients are in the technology sector just because that's where I had credibility, because that was my first client. I had, you know, materials that reflected experience in that sector. So I went after companies in that sector. And I would read trade publications, follow Twitter feeds of industry thought leaders, and find those companies that were scaling fast, really look for companies that were putting out corporate communications materials, things like press releases. I would go to their website and see, are they publishing press releases more than once every week? Do they have white papers? Are they doing case studies? Then I would track down their VP marketing. I'd do a lot of Googling and sneaky searching, and I'd find their email addresses or phone numbers, and I would cold call or send them an email pitching my services, pointing out that I've noticed on their website that they're scaling fast and putting out a lot of materials, and I can only imagine that it's overwhelming for their marketing department, and I can make it easier by turning the work around affordably, efficiently. They don't have to hold my hand. I'd sort of point out to them the value that I could add to the business. And I had this mantra, 10 before 10, that every morning before 10 o'clock, I wanted to reach out to 10 prospects by phone or by email. So I was sending out hundreds of emails in those beginning months. I did not go to the content mill or Craigslist. I went directly to the source because I knew that I was going to charge a premium and I wanted people that had budgets. So I would say that one out of every 10 prospects would respond and nibble. And then once they had responded, there was a good likelihood that they would hire me for at least a small project. I would always say to them, why don't you just hire me for something small, a press release. It won't cost you too much. And if you're pleased with my work, then we can talk about other opportunities going forward. And that's what I did. And I still do that. I don't, the 10 before 10 rule probably doesn't apply anymore. And people are coming to me more than me having to solicit business. But every single week I hustle business. Same way.
So I think perhaps the two main takeaways there are, you had an idea of what your ideal client was and went and found them.
Yes.
And then once you had found them, you really hit upon the key benefits for them. Rather than trying to sell yourself, you're essentially trying to say, this is how it'll work for you.
I sold myself based on how I could make their life easier. So I pointed out that I worked very quickly, that I was an excellent writer, that I didn't have to hold my hand, and that this would take away from their workload affordably. So, because ultimately it's still cheaper for them to outsource to me than to hire a full-time content developer internally, even if my rates are relatively speaking high, because I don't recommend that any freelance writer charge less than $75 an hour, and my rate is now at about $150. And I rarely have a client say, you know what, that's too much. Usually, it's almost never that my client objects to my rate, although I don't quote by the hour, I quote by the project. Those would be the takeaways and persistence. So I would follow up with people usually about a week later and say, don't know if you got my email to chat with you. So you really have to be very persistent. When you asked about my confidence or self-doubt, I probably shouldn't use profanity on your blog, but I did a lot of bull cutting when I was talking to my clients. Like I shouldn't admit that, but I had confidence in myself that I could learn what I didn't understand. And sometimes I would be frank because I don't know about workforce management software or sales performance management software or Unix platforms. Like, there were concepts that I didn't understand. And so I would usually be fairly forthcoming about that. I would say to my clients, I don't have a background in technology beyond what the work that I've done for my clients, but I'm a quick study and I ask a lot of questions and I feel very confident that I can turn this around for you. And then I sort of, you know, exhale when I got off the phone.
So how did you cope with that initial and possibly ongoing, with depending upon the project, that lack of knowledge? Because I think a lot of writers say, well, how can I write about these things I know nothing about? How can I represent myself as an expert if I don't know about the topic?
You have to be an expert in writing and in content marketing and content development. I think if you are expert in that, you can write about anything. It helps if you have familiarity with the subject matter, but I've written about things that I know nothing about. And I really believe that if you're a good writer, that learning curve is usually pretty swift. So the way that I deal with it is that I'm more often than not honest about that gap with my clients so that they know going into the project that they might have to arm me with some additional information that they can't take for granted, that I understand the business model necessarily. I'm not shy about asking questions. And I'm also not shy about bouncing things off of other experts in that field that I've encountered now. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of work lately for insurance companies, and I know very little about insurance, but everybody knows experts in the insurance sector. So I'll call up people that I know and ask them questions so that I can understand what I'm writing about. So, but I don't think that you should, that any writer should sell themselves short as an expert because they don't understand the business that they're writing in. They're experts at writing, the same way that my client is expert in enterprise software. That doesn't make them expert in writing. In fact, usually they're lousy writers. So we're bringing different skill sets to the table, and as long as you have confidence in your skills as a writer, I don't think it matters.
Good. Okay. I'm interested in how your business has evolved since you started. So could you tell us a little bit about what you, obviously we know a bit about what you started on and with and the kind of work you were doing. How have things evolved since then, and how has that benefited you?
So I started out just doing content development, just writing. That was it. No strategy, just putting words to the product. Slowly, it became clear that my clients wanted social media support for a lot of the content that they were developing. And in growing my own blog and my own traction on social media, I started to feel more confident about doing that. So I started consulting with my clients along those lines. And of course, that involved strategy. So now it's usually pretty rare they'll just do straight content without interjecting some strategic component. And most of my proposals involve some strategic element, either consultative or implementation of strategy that I've helped them to develop. So that's been a big change. And then going forward, I've actually partnered with somebody who is expert in web development and multimedia and design, because what was happening was that increasingly my clients were asking me to provide all of those services as well. So they didn't just want me to develop their web content. They wanted to know, could I design the site to support the content that I'm developing? And I don't have that expertise, but I do think that a content-driven marketing strategy has to consider all of those. It has to be an integrated approach. So a beautiful website that doesn't consider content as a driver is not going to be as effective. Mm-hmm. So I was working with this colleague, and now we've just to partner, and we will actually be launching under a new banner and a new brand in the coming months. Ruth Vive Copywriting will be no longer, and will be folded into this other business, and we'll be offering content-driven end-to-end marketing strategies for our clients. That's really exciting for me. Mm.
And what drives your ambition to fork out like this?
I think it's two things. One is that I'm a very, I'm a pretty ambitious person by nature. Money is a consideration. I've been thinking from the beginning, even I've even talked about this, how do you scale as a writer, right? So you either have to increase your rate, and I think I'm probably close to where my rates are probably at a bit of a ceiling, although some people have disagreed with me. You can hire other people and outsource, and I do that a little bit. I've been outsourcing to some other writers so that I have more hours to count. Or you can reevaluate your service offering. And so my process of growth has taken me in this direction. I really feel that I can grow to where I want to be from a fiscal point of view, an impact point of view, by offering a full suite of marketing solutions. And the other thing is that I really believe that marketing today is more so content driven than it ever has been. And so to have the kind of impact that I want to have for my clients, I have to be going in this direction.
That's an interesting statement. You're essentially saying that you have to evolve to meet your clients' needs.
The way that I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I could continue doing just content, but then I'm really not intimately involved in the web design or the project design or the social media strategy. And then I don't think content can be as effective. So then I'm just spinning words, right? Like I'm just providing them with words, and they may not implement on that content in a way that is most effective. So, I want to see through the process to the very end.
That's a really interesting point you've hit on there, because one of my key frustrations with certain clients is just that. You supply the words, but you know that they're not perhaps being leveraged in the best exactly. possible way. And that essentially downgrades the value of your service in a way, indirectly. And so you're simply looking to leapfrog that by taking control of the whole process.
Exactly, and then hopefully I'll make lots of money too.
Well, that would be good. Let's be honest, that's what we all want.
I'd be lying if I said that wasn't a motivator. It's definitely a motivator.
Yeah, of course. All right, I have one final question, which is along the same lines. I personally am a big fan of writing for the online community, or whatever you want to call it, because of the different opportunities it can give you. And I think you're a great example of that in terms of how you're branching out. So for those people who perhaps feel that they can write, but are just maybe not convinced that it's a good long-term prospect, that perhaps they don't want to be writing for the rest of their lives or whatever it may be, can you give us your thoughts on how freelance writing can eventually be so much more than freelance writing?
I think that good writers are in short supply and high demand. So really the opportunities are boundless. And if you're a good writer, there are so many different directions that you can take. And I think especially with social media and blogging and content marketing strategy and Google search, content is just so much more important than it ever was. I also love the fact that as a writer, you can really scale however you want. It's something that you can do forever. As long as your mind is intact, right? You can do it as much as you want or as little as you want. You can do ebooks or affiliate sales or ghostwriting or blogging, or you can do editorial writing. I mean, it's just boundless. It's such a versatile and exciting field. You can do technical writing, manuals, guides. I mean, it's just an endless list of, I think you, for me, people would say to me, like, are you passionate about writing in the tech sector? And the answer would be no. I think you and I may have even had this conversation. I don't get excited about writing about technology. I hope my clients aren't listening. But I love writing. And for me, the excitement comes from growing my business, because I definitely have an entrepreneurial spirit. But if you're pursuing writing as a career just because you love to write, you don't have any real burning desire to grow your business into something bigger, then really you should write about the things you love. You should focus on those niche markets that align with your personal interests. And then you'll have a really rewarding career for as long as you like. I think it's a very wonderful, versatile, exciting field.
That's it's interesting that you've essentially hit upon, in my opinion, the two ways in which you can enjoy a writing career. And one is to write about things that you are really passionate about, and one is to write about things that you're not necessarily passionate about, but you do you leverage that time in such a way that you're making good money, and you get the buzz from that, from the entrepreneurial aspect of it.
Exactly. And the beauty of writing is that you can do both. I mean, for me, the latter pursuit is the priority right now. So I'm writing to grow my business, and that's my thrill, right? But I still write about things that really interest me, and I do that. I still continue to do that on the side. And that I'm able to fulfill that need as well. So they're not necessarily mutually exclusive pursuits, but I think if you have a good handle on which is the bigger priority, then that will define the direction of your business.
Great. Now, a lot of my audience are aspiring writers or think that they would like to do it, and just generally, and just freelancing in general, if we just put writing to one side, just the general act of freelancing, I think there are a lot of parallels you can draw, whether it's writing or something else.
Sure.
If you just had one piece of advice to give to these people who haven't yet kind of made the jump, what piece of advice would that be?
It's going to sound completely arrogant, but I would say, know that you are better than most of the people that are out there. Which I think there is a lot of mediocrity out there. Mm. So I'm not even suggesting that I'm the best in the business at what I do. There are better writers. I think I'm really, really good, especially compared to the standards that's out there. So believe in yourself, but more than just believing in yourself in an abstract know that you are definitely better than most of the other people out there trying to do this. And if you have that sense and that confidence, then I think you're likely going to succeed.
I think that's spot on. I think that at a bare minimum, that most people can make a good living from freelance blogging in any way, shape, or form. You know, if you get that one step above content mills, then you can make an okay living. And then if you increase your expertise and you learn to better increase your rates and attract better clients, it's essentially just a hill that you can climb.
Yes. Yes. And don't be afraid of charging what you think you're worth. That's also a really important consideration, because it's much harder to scale back your rates and lower them. It's much harder to increase your rates after you set them really low than it is to scale back your rates if you find you're not getting the business that you want. So, you know, think big.
Yeah, the worst thing a client can do is say no, and then you just have to go and find another.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Is there anything else at all that you'd like to add before we wrap things up?
No, this has been great. And when my business grows, Tom, and I'm launching my UK office, you know who I'm calling.
Sure thing. Okay, so I want to leave everyone with the places that they need to go to find out a little bit more about you. So there's ruthsivecopywriting.com and what it will become in the future as well, of course. Is there anything else that you would like to plug before we leave this?
No, I think I encourage people to visit my blog and to subscribe and to reach out to me. I'm always happy to answer questions. My contact information is on my website. And that's where you can find me for now. And then if you subscribe, of course, you'll be updated on new developments and where I'll be in the coming months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very, very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.